Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A breakthrough study in the UK has hailed what could be the first new treatment for asthma and COPD patients in 50 years. Benralizumab is already used to treat severe cases of these respiratory diseases, but the latest research suggests it could be used routinely to treat flare-ups and attacks. Well, to tell us more, I'm joined by Professor Marcus Butler, who's Associate Professor at the School of Medicine in UCD and also Medical Director at the Asthma Society of Ireland. Professor Butler, you're very welcome to the programme. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Claire. Good morning.
So in your view, is this a major breakthrough in the treatment of asthma and possibly COPD too?
I think it has the potential to be a game-changing breakthrough. And this is an important day for COPD and asthma patients who are looking for more hope, for less side effects and harms from steroid medication that we've been using for many, many decades. In this particular study, it is a phase two study, so it will need to be confirmed in larger scale phase three studies before it can be actually rolled out and approved around the world. But it offers genuine hope that patients who are correctly selected for the use of a once-off injection treatment on the day they present to their healthcare professionals with an attack of asthma in particular, and a similar asthma-like COPD flare-up can benefit from not needing steroid tablets and having a better outcome in the 3 months following that treatment.
Mm-hmm, because the steroids often bring with them some nasty side effects, don't they, for patients?
So they have a higher rate of side effects, they have a lower rate of treatment success, and the side effects are very real, apart from the fact that a lot of people will notice they put on weight if they're staying on steroids long term, which is a very visible side effect, and their skin gets thinner, paper-like. They can also end up with osteoporosis and life-limiting fractures later in life. They can get vision loss from cataracts and promote diabetes developing. A litany of side effects, which we see virtually none of these sorts of side effects with these alternative injection treatments. And benralizumab is one of a number of drugs that are really effective for a particular type of inflammation in human lungs that causes harm. It's eosinophilic inflammation. Patients who are on these drugs are familiar with this terminology. The general public wouldn't be, but we all have eosinophils in our body. And this drug, benralizumab, is an antibody that targets interleukin-5 receptor alpha and helps to lower the eosinophils from harming these patients' lungs.
So do you have to have this type of asthma, do you expect, once
yes,
we get to the point where
absolutely,
this can be used? Okay, so this will only be useful for people who have eosinophilic, if I'm saying it properly, asthma.
And the eosinophilic COPD, which is, I guess, another important breakthrough in this news today. I mean, this drug has been looked at before just in reducing flare-ups given once off in an emergency department in asthma for all comers, and the study was negative because they didn't purify the study population and targeted those who really had the significant eosinophilic inflammation. But the current study that's been hitting the headlines today targeted this high level of eosinophilic inflammation, not just in asthma patients, but also in COPD patients who have the similar level of eosinophilic inflammation, and found the benefits applied to both of these different disease group populations. And for COPD in particular, that's a major breakthrough, given that there's a significantly higher quantity of these patients in occupying emergency departments, around the world with flare-ups of their disease.
Are you aware that this would be an very expensive option if you compare it to what is spent on steroids?
Well, it is multitudes more expensive.
Okay.
And so this brings us to some of the limitations of the study here. I mean, there would have to be a very careful economic analysis conducted before this study and its phase three results, if they get replicated, could be rolled out into general care. It's many thousands of euros per year, a five-digit sum to have a patient on this drug normally in severe asthma. And we use it for the last number of years, and drugs like it, they're equally expensive at the moment for severe asthma patients. But we give it at a lower dose, and we give it periodically with multiple injections throughout the year to reduce the future flare-ups. The difference with today's news is that they've used the drug right on the day you're sick to see if a one-off dose, now, albeit a much higher dose of 100 milligrams, is able to lessen the failure of treatment in the weeks, indeed the 3 months that follow. And that's where it has shown a good benefit. The other concern I'd have is that the dose of steroid that was used in this study in the comparison group was a little lower than what's conventionally used worldwide. And although the authors say this is the standard of care, I would take issue with that. Because certainly in this country and in other countries that I'm aware of, 40 milligrams of prednisolone would be the standard dose rather than the 30 milligrams used here. So it's important that we know that we're comparing like with like and that we can generalize findings before we can get fully behind a treatment. Mm-hmm. The other important thing is that this group only had a third of patients who had pure COPD, as you might call it. A good lot had overlapping asthma, and 56%, more than half, had pure asthma. So it's particularly reassuring that it will help in asthma. But the COPD patients will have to be carefully characterized to have the correct form of asthma. Only 10% of the people in the study were active smokers. COPD is a smoking-related disease, but nonetheless, half of the patients in the study were former smokers. And so it is a relatively generalizable group, but it has to be carefully costed to make sure that this will be beneficial if it was rolled out on a large scale. Now, the study had a relatively small sample size as well, so much larger studies are needed.
Yeah, but as you say, it moves now from phase two to phase three when that will happen. Now, when we spoke before, you explained to us that nearly 500,000 people in Ireland have asthma, which I think is an extraordinary figure. But when it comes to this particular type of asthma that you've described to us, that this drug may be effective for, do we know what percentage of the total asthma sufferers have eosinophilic asthma?
It could be, international estimates are that it's roughly 50%. Many people think that it would be higher if we had better ways of actually defining what truly eosinophilic asthma is. But at a minimum, we can take it that about half of all patients would be classified as eosinophilic asthma. So it's a remarkably high figure still.
Yeah, just going back to the cost, though. I mean, how do you get to the point where agreement is reached that this is going to be worth it? You know, if you're talking about a drug that is going to cost multiple times what is being spent by the health service and by private patients on steroids, how does this work economically?
It would work economically if a really high quality impact of cost effectiveness was carried out that went beyond just direct costs of medications and looked at indirect costs. I mean, when you look at the morbidities associated with uncontrolled and exacerbation-prone asthma and indeed eosinophilic COPD, people lose productivity. They have to stop, at least they leave their work. Even if they are on their work, they're sort of present but not really doing as good a workload as their colleagues. There's a large rate of comorbidities linked to having flare-ups and COPD side effects of treatment from steroids. So if you can lessen greatly, and it would be a great reduction we would anticipate in the steroid exposure for these patients, it can only have very substantial indirect and direct cost benefits that go far beyond just the crude analysis of the drug cost.
Okay, well, thank you very much for explaining it all to us, Marcus. That's Professor Marcus Butler there, who is Associate Professor at the School of Medicine in UCD and also works as Medical Director with the Asthma Society of Ireland. Coming up next on the programme, 1 million Ukrainians without power. This is following overnight Russian strikes. We'll get the latest after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.